This talk was given on March 2, 2018 at the Catholic Business Network First Friday Breakfast Speaker Series. The breakfast was sponsored by Those Catholic Men and featured Jacob Laskowski, CEO and owner of 86 Creative, with his talk titled, Millennials Are Ruining Everything, How to Market to This Unique Group.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you all. To start out, I appreciate James being here and David, and I brought a couple other real-life millennials. There's some here in the front row. They'll be available for questions afterwards. Thank you for getting up early and being with us. Some of you are probably parents to some millennials, so maybe after the end of this talk, you'll understand your children a little bit better, or at least how they communicate or how they don't communicate. We're going to get into a couple of things. When I was looking to create this talk, I had been reading a lot of research on millennials, and a lot of times in news media, there are articles and headlines that say, millennials are ruining media. Millennials are ruining toiletries. Millennials are ruining golf. And they all start with millennials are ruining. So I decided to call this talk, Millennials Are Ruining Everything. Before we get into how they're ruining things, let's talk about who they are. So they are people who reach young adulthood in the 21st century. They were born roughly between 1980 and the year 2000. There are 92 million in the U.S. It's the largest generation in U.S. history, three times the size of Generation X, the one before them, and they have $1.3 trillion in annual buying power. If you're in business, this might be an important number to remember why we need to reach millennials. So if you had to say words that you've heard described of millennials, what are words that come to mind?
Lazy.
Lazy.
Self-indulgent.
Self-indulgent. You're not going to offend anybody, so feel free. Entitled, not great terms associated with millennials, right?
Socialism,
yeah, okay. So millennials, they get a bad rap, especially from non-millennials. So in terms of, you've heard of a word cloud before. Word clouds are, taking all these words, and as many times they were said, those words are larger than the other words that appear on the word cloud. So this is how non-millennials view millennials. So the larger words here show that those words are used more often to describe millennials. So we got lazy, spoiled, young, entitled, smart, tech savvy. On the flip side, how do you think millennials view themselves? Innovative, intellectual, creative, special. This is how millennials view themselves. Tech savvy, lazy, there's some honesty there, okay? Cool, young, innovative, awesome. Hippies, yeah. So one thing that is important to know about millennials is that they really are a generation of convenience. They don't like waiting for things. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
We don't like waiting for websites to load. If it takes more than 3 seconds for your website to load, we're gone. We don't have time for that. We don't even like waiting for our TV shows. We like watching them all in 14 hours. Forget commercials. I watched a real live TV several months ago, and I remember thinking, there's 90 seconds where I'm going to have to figure out what to do with my time and not watch television. When I was in the second grade, I went to a Catholic school in southern Indiana. And in southern Indiana, it has a very different climate than northeast Indiana, so it's a little warmer there today than it is here. But in August, at a Catholic school in 1992, with no air conditioning, you play on the blacktop for an hour. You're hot, you're sweaty, you're exhausted. You come inside to the heat box, the school building, and you wait in this line, right? Well, whoever's at the front of that line is the most hated person in the class. Getting yelled at, getting heckled from the back, no matter who it is. So when I was in the second grade, my entrepreneurial self saw an opportunity. I saw a need. They needed water and they didn't want to wait for it. So I convinced my teacher to let me come in from recess a few minutes early every day, and I put water in little Solo cups. And I sold them to my classmates. And it worked. They came in, everyone was happy, they all got water. It was great. The problem was, my teacher, or the health department in this story, found out I was reusing the Solo cups every day. So, I'm not in the restaurant industry anymore, so no worries there. But I learned from a very young age, we don't like to wait for things. We're a generation of convenience. that impacts everything we do. But I also want to get into why it might that be the case. But a couple of interesting facts here is millennials within the next 8 years will be 75% of the workforce. In the past year, in 2017, millennials, 58% of them who are in the workforce, were promoted to managerial roles. The Generation X ahead of them, who are a little older, only 19% of those folks were promoted to managerial roles. So not only are they going to make up the majority of the workforce, they're also going to be bossing people around. So that's a little scary, right? Thinking about that. They're the most educated generation in the history. The key word there is most, not best. Someone once argued with me, I don't know if they're the most, and I said, I didn't say best educated. I said they're the most. They've been in school the most. And 40% of the unemployed Americans are millennials today. The average student loan debt of these folks is $33,000, and the tuition spike since the 1970s rose 1,000%. Which makes you wonder, you know, you can understand some of these private companies who wanted to get into education. You can't blame Trump for wanting to make a buck, you know? He saw that. 46% of millennials were raised by divorced parents. It's the first generation in the history of humankind that we've experienced, that we've experimented in raising nearly the majority of a generation in two homes. So we have to wonder, what are the consequences to something like that? And as Catholics, we know the family is the rock of our society. When the family goes, so goes our society. So we kind of see, you know, maybe there's some correlation between how millennials are the way they are and where that came from. In particular, nearly half have admitted to struggling with depression or thoughts of suicide, and they have the highest levels of clinical anxiety or stress than any other generation at this stage in their life. I just read an article yesterday about of the children that have been born in the last 5 to 10 years, 47% of those children were born to unwed millennial mothers. So we're kind of continuing that trend of two or more family homes. So let's get into how millennials are communicating, how they're ruining communication, because this impacts all of us. It's all because of this. When we were in junior high, when we were in high school, depending on how old you are in the millennial range, this was invented, and it changed the way we communicate everywhere, and it spawned all these imitators. And now, you know, somewhere about 85% of web traffic among this generation is solely on their phones. And so if you're looking to do your website or thinking about your website, and you're only thinking about how it looks on your laptop, and you're trying to reach millennials, you're wasting your time. You have to think about how it looks on your phone. Texting now outranks phone calls as the dominant form of communication among millennials. Maybe if you've tried to communicate with millennials, you've experienced this in your own life. You call them, no answer. You text them, maybe they'll text back, depending on who you are. 68% said they texted a lot in the previous day. 59% would break up with someone through a text message, which might tell you there's some concern there with how they view relationships. Here's the one that really gets me, though. 59% of moms pay for their millennial child's phone bill every month. I won't ask for volunteers in here if you pay for your child's phone bill still. Aside from texting, millennials use Facebook a lot for communicating, whether it's via the actual news feed or through instant messaging. 97% of them have a Facebook profile. 59% have Instagram, and fewer have Twitter and LinkedIn accounts. We're going to get more into social media because it infiltrates all of these topics this morning. But they're ruining purchasing habits as well, and they're doing it a lot with social media. So I want to share a little story about Janelle. This is Janelle here. The words got cut off, but this is Janelle in her Ford Fiesta. And yes, she is hugging her Ford Fiesta. And no, she is not marrying her Ford Fiesta. It's just a hug. She's 27 years old. She has 2,000 friends on Facebook and 700 followers on Twitter, and she wanted to find a new car. So what did she do? She didn't go watch TV and wait for a commercial. She didn't read the newspaper and look at newspaper ads. She went to social media and posted to all of her friends, I'm looking for an American-made car that has good gas mileage and all these certain specs. And then her friends started to comment on the post of, ooh, try this car, try that car. So she narrowed it down to two cars, the Chevy Sonic and the Ford Fiesta. Well, once she did a little bit of her own research via the internet, She found out that she really wanted that Ford Fiesta, so she went to the local dealer. She found a silver Ford Fiesta that was beautiful. It was everything she wanted. She walked inside, and they said, sorry, that was just sold, and it's on back order. It'll be several months before we can get it again. So, like the typical millennial, she went home. She complained on Facebook, and she thought, well, maybe I guess I'll just get a Chevy Sonic. But she tried one more thing. She thought, well, maybe I'll just vent on Twitter. So on Twitter, you can tweet at a company or tweet at people. So she said, dear Ford, and she told the situation. Well, little did she know that Ford responded right back to her and said, we'll take care of this for you. And within a matter of weeks, she got her perfect Ford Fiesta car with all the specs that she wanted. There are two important things we want to note about the story. One is, she didn't turn to traditional media to find information about a car she wanted to buy. She turned to her friends and she turned to social media. The other thing we need to learn is Ford responded to her, because Ford understood that social media isn't about just getting messages out there, it's about interacting with their audience. And through that, Janelle says that their efforts to help her speak miles about the brand. I will never choose another car brand. And you better believe that she also told that message to all of her followers and all of her friends. That's brand loyalty. And it happened through interaction on social media. 68% of millennials don't make a major decision without the impact of their peers. They are influenced heavily by what their peers are saying and what their peers are doing. 84% will use their smartphone in a store to compare prices with a product at another store. One thing that gets Best Buy really bad is they'll go into the store, check out a product, go home and buy it on Amazon. 75% take or post pictures while they're shopping. 57% read product reviews, 52% search for online coupons, and 33% read blogs and reviews about the products. I mentioned Starbucks before. Starbucks knows that millennials are a major audience for them. They need to reach them. They know that they don't like waiting in lines. So what do? If I had my phone out, I'd show you. I've got a Starbucks app. You can load your Starbucks app with money, and you just pull up your phone, show it, they scan it, and I've got my coffee. It's a matter of seconds to take my wallet out and put a credit card in, but it's just quicker to use my phone. Starbucks knows that. And it doesn't make me feel like I'm spending money. Millennials, you know, well, it just came from my phone. It was magic. And probably as we know, mom's paying for it anyway. So Starbucks knows that if we do smartphone and we do the app thing really well, we'll be able to win over this generation, and they'll be able to spend more money in our stores and get in and out quicker. And then, of course, Ford is doing it well. Millennials are ruining marketing. Traditional advertising, remember in Janelle's story, does not reach millennials. 84% of them don't trust traditional ads. So billboards, yard signs, TV ads, newspaper ads, they don't reach them. Well, first of all, they're not reading newspapers. Second of all, they're not watching live television. They're watching Netflix and Hulu. So those mediums are just not capable of reaching this audience the way that they reach other audiences. Aside from the fact that even if you have advertising in other spaces, they might not believe that it's authentic or real. They want to find out from their friends, what did you think of this product, rather than see this advertisement on some website and believe it just based on that. So interactive, non-traditional ads are what impact this audience the most. That is not a typo. I purposely put social media as the first three bullets here. Retargeting, which we'll get into, and SEO and Google are other really strong methods to reach this audience in the digital space. Like we learned in the Ford case, social media has to be interactive, back and forth conversation. Millennials expect brands to participate in social media with them and not just shout that information. An important thing to know if you're considering something in social media is 78% of corporations in America have teams, keyword teams, dedicated to social media alone. Not interns, not nephews, not part-time folks, teams dedicated to social media. Just Google it. You've heard this before. My daughter tells me it all the time. If I can't answer a question, just Google it, Dad. Having a Google strategy is vital. It's kind of like if in 1986, if I owned a marketing agency and someone came and asked me if they should be in the Yellow Pages, I'd scratch my head and wonder why they're asking that question. Google is the Yellow Pages today. If you search for what you're looking for and you don't come up, you're not going to be found, period. You're not in the Yellow Pages anymore. It's important to give your message some legs. So you might notice if you have a Facebook page for your company, that if you post something on there, you might notice that you reach maybe 1 to 5% of the people who actually already follow you. That's because Facebook is a company and they need to make money. So if you want to reach your own audience, you have to pay them and sponsor your posts. The good news is it doesn't have to be expensive, especially if you have a smaller following. So anywhere from $5 up, you can reach more of the people who already like you on that network. But ad buys are really the only way to get that message out if you want to just post things. Retargeting is a method that when you go to a website, let's say, for example, exodus90.com, and you're perusing the website, well, if you know anything about Exodus 90, you know you're not going to probably decide on that first trip to the website that this is something you're going to do. You might need to be reminded about it. And so if you go to exodus90.com and the rest of the week you're going to CNN.com and you're going to ESPN.com, well, we're going to follow you and we're going to put our ads on those websites to track you and to remind you of, oh yeah, that Exodus 90 thing, I might consider that. It takes a while, right? So that's what retargeting is. This beautiful watch here was a recommendation from a friend of mine, Mr. Baxter. He has one as well. And I was like, oh, that's a nice watch. You know, I might look for one. I looked at their website. I was looking at a couple watches, and it was, I was thinking, well, maybe it'll be a Christmas present for myself. This was October. And the rest of the week, I keep seeing the exact watch on every site I went to. And because I'm a millennial and I'm impatient, I got an early Christmas present in October, and I got the watch. But it happened because they kept reminding me of how much I wanted that watch. That was brilliant, actually. Here are some brands that are doing social media well. These are the largest audiences among millennials on Facebook. Red Bull, Samsung Mobile, and Oreos, which should speak something about millennials, right? They like to be hyped up on Red Bull and Oreos and look at their phones. So like I mentioned with Exodus 90, what we did there is we used social media specifically and almost solely to interact and answer questions and buy ads to reach this millennial audience. We used retargeting campaigns, like I mentioned, and we focused on simple messaging, not long, heavy text, but something very simple, something like fight for your freedom or something like what will you become by day 91. So here's an example of an interaction we had with some folks on Facebook when we posted a video, and the video was saying, you know, you have to give up beer for 90 days, and after 90 days, even PBR tastes like, you know, craft beer. I forget what, yeah. So here's some message. Jeff says, this is the program I was talking about. He's saying it to his friend Joel. Don't worry about their insults to PBR. They're still good people. So we responded, don't worry, we still love PBR. And then tag two more friends and we'll send you a discount code. So then Jeff tags two more friends and we sent him a discount code. And three people did Exodus that might not have had that interaction happened. Gabriel says, they need to bring down the craft beer prices pint for $6. That hurts. That has nothing to do with anything that we were talking about. But, you know, we want to interact, so we say no debate here. And then Jim says, 90 days without beer so we can still drink Bud Light. So what do you say to that other than some laughter emojis at the bottom there? So the important point of that is every comment that came through on that feed, we responded to, even the negative ones. Some of the more anti-Catholic comments were interesting to respond to. Those are fun. Here's an example of what you might see if you went to Exodus90.com and then you went to NewYorkPost.com. At the top of there, you'd see our banner and you'd be reminded, you, your brothers, 90 days. So, why reach millennials? They're the future business, government, and religious leaders. They have $1.3 trillion in annual buying power this year. They're trendsetters among all the other age groups. They're the largest, most educated generation in history. They're the most connected generation. And also, they have $1.3 trillion in annual buying power. One important note I want to close with is, regardless of what your messaging is or what you're trying to say to millennials, the important part of or how you want to do it, the important part is it has to be truthful. We've been lied to by so many brands. Oh, this product will clean up your face. Oh, this will make you skinny. Oh, this will, you know, make you fit. All of these lies that we've been fed through advertising. That's one of the main reasons why traditional ads just don't work and why reviews and peer referrals work, because it worked for my friend, I know it'll work for me, not because I saw some movie star say it on TV. So it has to be true. And if it's not true, they won't come back. They won't be interested. There's a far more we can talk about in the idea of millennials wanting that authenticity and that real nature. That's why so many of them want to raise chickens. They want to know where their eggs came from, you know? They want that real authentic story. So if you can tell that in a real authentic way, you'll be able to reach them well. Thanks for your time.
This talk was a presentation of the Catholic Business Network, provided by the Office of Communications in the Diocese of Fort Wayne, South Bend. To be notified of upcoming speakers, sponsoring an event, or simply more information on how to get involved, visit www.todayscatholic.org/cbn.